Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and one of our favorite friends of the show is New York Magazine theater critic Helen Shaw, who's been a regular on our Monday Reviews previews. And I was really sad when I thought we wouldn't hear from Helen for a while. And then, bam, she and her colleagues go and write a great piece called What to Stream While Broadway is Shut Down. Joining us now to walk us through these recommendations for this week's review preview is Helen Shaw. Hi, Helen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Let's start with some alternatives to what would have been some of the big shows this spring. So The London revival of Company was going to be a big deal. They had the gender-swapped roles, the legendary Patti LuPone, and according to one source, the cast is still practicing via Zoom. So in the meantime, you recommend getting a Sondheim fix by watching the San Mendes revival of Company. What do you like about that 96 production?
Well, Adrian Lester is Robert. So, you know, it's one of the opportunities to see how British take on what is, to me, kind of a quintessentially American musical can give you a weird additional layer of alienation and abstraction. It's already a musical that does not give you a lot emotionally while asking a lot of you emotionally. And watching it with this lovely layer of sort of British abstemiousness is quite on point and quite on message. There's so much that you can watch that is Sondheim right now. We're in a sort of flurry of wonderful Sondheim documentaries that I think you could probably watch a Sondheim documentary every day this week and you would get your fix.
So do you recommend watching the Documentary Company original cast album? What's great about it?
Oh yeah. It's so cruel. So it is the famous scene from it, the scene that you have a hard time forgetting if you've seen it, is when the boys, you know, Hal Prince and Stephen Sondheim, are waiting for Elaine Stritch to get Here's to the Ladies Who Lunch right. And they are just, they withdraw more and more emotionally from her as she just pours her whole body and soul into it. And, you know, a lot of what I love about theater is that it's lovey-dovey, but what I also kind of love about it is there is this strain of real masochism in it, and you get to see what that looks like.
Now, my producer Jordan loves a spoof on this from Documentary Now. It's an episode starring John Mulaney, and it's called Original Cast Album Co-op. Let's listen.
It's Beaux-Arts under scaffolding.
Co-op. The staff can't do anything.
Co-op. But they might still strike this spring. That's the gossip at the mail drop. Here in our co-op.
Whose package is this? Something from overnight insulin emergency providers? Going once? Twice? Nope. Okay, garbage time. Bye-bye, box.
Co-op.
Why's the water shut off?
I think that's something we can all relate to even a little bit more, having been home. Have you seen this before?
Yeah, it is. What's weird about it is how faithful it is. It didn't take a lot to turn it into a spoof. So that's sort of a good double feature for anyone who is looking to fill a long evening.
My guest is Helen Shaw, theater critic from New York Magazine and Vulture, about the piece What to Stream While Broadway is Shut Down. Okay, six. I had tickets to see this March 18th. You gave it a thumbs up a couple of weeks ago on our show. But for people who don't remember what it's about, would you give them the heads up?
So it is the six wives of Henry VIII who have come back on tour in order to sort of compete for the affections of the audience. It's a little bit Drag Race. It's a little bit live in concert. And they, each of them have a different claim to fame. You know, Anne Boleyn had six fingers on one hand. Surely that should give her the leg up. But they each have this sort of, you know, sing their faces off in order to get us to love them the best. And then, of course, what they instead find is solidarity and sisterhood. And it is just, I mean, honestly, it was like eating a macaroon. It was just dissolving in your mouth pleasure. Which I'm not supposed to say because I'm not allowed to review it yet.
Oh, all bets are off, Helen. Come on.
Yeah, I know. It's a Wild West.
I've been calling them the Spice Wives. When you hear them. Let's listen to a little bit of this. This is from the cast recording of Anne Boleyn performing the song Don't Lose Your Head.
Mm. Don't lose your head. Tried to elope, but the Pope said nope. Our only hope was Henry. He got a promotion, caused a commotion, set in motion the C of E. The rules were so outdated. Wanted to get x-rated. Soon excommunicated. Everybody chill, it's totes God's will.
I love that. So you say you don't you also recommend not just the cast album, but there's a sing-along album?
Oh yeah, and actually that's what I would look for. It's on Amazon. It's, you know, get it immediately. That's actually a big part of what had made Six kind of a phenom before it even reached us. I went to Broadway Con, and it was, I want to say, even before they had played their first preview, and they had a massive, you know, in the hallway, everybody at Broadway Con singing along. Everyone knew the lyrics already, and it was just infectious and contagious in a way that I kind of miss, thinking of those things as positive terms. It is genuinely, it's just bubblegum, but it's also a good way to get a lot of your feelings out if you really want to jump around your apartment.
Up next is a show that sparked a lot of debate on Team All of It when we were all still together in the bullpen, Diana the Musical, which is about the life of Princess Diana. We can discuss offline what those conversations were like. But in your piece, you and your co-authors recommend watching instead of this. You say, revisit the bizarre viral video footage from a community theater production of a different musical about the late Princess of Wales. Okay, tell us a little bit about this community theater production.
So I admit to you that I've only seen the video, which is this, I mean, you know, it's gone around the world six times, but it is 2 minutes from this community theater production. The first song is, you know, there's a party at the palace. Then we go quickly to Diana, who's concerned because she's got so many appointments and she's hoping that Charles can work that out for her. She has an 11 o'clock number. It's a whole lot of sort of highlights that are spliced together. So you really get the feeling that you're seeing the dramaturgical arc of this train wreck. And it is the 11 o'clock number is either sung right before the fatal accident or it's sung from the afterlife. And since both of those choices is deliriously tasteless, I choose to believe them both.
That is available on Twitter, by the way. The whole 2 minutes. Enjoy yourselves. All right. Girl from the North Country was not one of your favorites on stage.
Oh,
and you instead
no.
suggest watching a Martin Scorsese doc. Tell us about what you want us to check out.
So I think that's, you know, I hesitate to say that my problem with Girl from the North Country is that it didn't get to the heart of Dylan. Because I'm afraid I'm one of those people who doesn't know that she understands the heart of Dylan. Appreciate it, but understand it, no. And so Rolling Thunder Review is one of the great all-time tour documentaries. Mm-hmm. It is itself an astonishing piece of art. And that's actually where I would put my time with this. The music, though, of Girl from the North Country is quite beautiful when you abstract it from its context, and so, you know, it is worth listening to songs from that because the arrangements are very beautiful. But when it comes to actually experiencing or trying to get to the heart of what this sort of mystical American folk figure is all about, I would watch Rolling Thunder Review.
And I have to say, I watched a little bit of it just in doing research for the segment, and I completely now buy into Timothée Chalamet as Bob Dylan. After Wives, like I completely buy into it, eyeliner and all. Let's talk about Jagged Little Pill. So let's say you're sad that you can't sit in your seat and sing along under your breath to all the Alanis Morissette music and Jagged Little Pill. What's my fix here?
So my feeling about Jagged Little Pill, which, you know, I mean, you can always just listen to the original album. That always exists for you. Is you want to look for the Lauren Patton version of You Ought to Know. It's on the cast album. It's on, you can watch a lot of her interviews on YouTube about what Alanis means to her. And for me, and I know for a lot of people who watch that show, either you're having a positive or a negative reaction to it, either way. And then Lauren Patton sings You Ought to Know, and it lays you out. It's a total KO. It is, it's the best song and the best delivery of the best song in the show. So why not just go for the highlight and comfort yourself that way?
Let's take a little listen to Lauren Patton singing You Ought to Know from the cast album of Jagged Little Pill.
Every time you speak his name, does he know why you told me you'd be there until you died? Till you died, but you're still alive. And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. It's not fair to deny me of the cross.
I don't know. And then we should say that when that I know my mic was open. Yeah, we said that the audience stops in the standing ovation in the middle of the show. So you can do that at home as well, because that's what would have been happening had you seen it in the theater. Am I right?
Exactly. And also, if you can, try to remember a heartbreak. Just bring back like a real, really keen memory of a betrayal that you can hang on to while that's happening.
My guest is Helen Shaw, theater critic at New York Magazine. We're talking about what to stream while Broadway is shut down. And I know some people are already starting to think about Shakespeare in the Park might get canceled this season. But is there a way to enjoy past Shakespeare in the Park? I have to imagine it's online somewhere, some of it.
Well, so, you know, that is, we are certainly facing those questions right now about what we can have filmed and what we can't. There are very strict rules from Equity about what is allowed to be filmed. But because we are blessed, PBS has last year's incredible Much Ado About Nothing that starred Daniel Brooks. And it was one of the best productions that they had done in years. It was joyful, rueful, funny, really, really one of their best accomplishments. And that's the one that they're releasing on PBS, which I think we can just be very grateful for.
It's so great. And before I let you go, you know, obviously we should talk about the serious part of this. We've been talking about a lot of fun and ways to enjoy theater and celebrate theater. But obviously the financial impact of the pandemic is enormous. Shows being shut down, unemployment. So what kind of financial support are theaters and people who work in the industry getting right now?
So, you know, when it comes to direct aid, Celia was talking about the way that actors are activating to offer direct aid. For them, you know, there are the standbys, like the Actors Fund, which is for actors and stage managers. There's Broadway Care. There's Broadway Cares. There's the Indie Theater Fund, which is for people who aren't in the union, who are in the sort of the smaller, easy to fall through the cracks, quantum foam level of theater in the city. But when it comes to what kind of help are they getting from above, there's been two big sources. There was a quite wonderful coming together very, very quickly in the first week after the crisis when a bunch of different philanthropic funds like the Rockefeller Brothers and the Mellon people came together to make a $75 million pot of money that people can apply for right away. And then, of course, there's also what we saw in the relief bill, which, again, how that's shaking out seems to be different person by person. I know personally some people who've been able to apply for unemployment and other people who, because of the strange ways that theater employment works, have not been able to. But at least there are some good signals in that bill that they can apply for, that the theaters can apply for business loans, which they'll then never have to pay back as long as they use it for payroll. So conceivably that will save a couple of jobs and a couple of paychecks.
Helen Shaw is New York Magazine's theater critic. As always, Helen, thanks for joining us on All of It.
Thank you, Allison. Good luck in all this.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.